will really inform us, it will equip us with great enthusiasm, and we have a surprise. Yes? Great, great, a great performance waits you. Yes, surprise, I cannot say more. So let us start to sing. I have prepared myself a little. Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarada Ji Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarada Ji Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Anachari Yamuna Tira Anachari Yamuna Tira Anachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna
Prabhupada Jaya Radha, Yoginata Radha, Yoginata Radha, Yoginata Radha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that very supportive Madanga. Thank you. So, Hare Krishna, before I start, two short announcements. One is a technical announcement. On appearance day, we Vaishnavas feast in the morning by hearing about Krishna. Breakfast is dropped for that purpose, and the lunch prasadam is available after 12 o'clock. That's one technical thing, so that you're not in anxiety. When will he stop? I will stop, by the way, very quickly. I need to go today. So, a second announcement is, my dear everyone, this chanting more just purifies the heart and makes one so happy with the holy name. I just like to chant now all the time. It's really amazing what happens when you just make a little effort to come closer to Krishna. And perhaps here we find the spiritual reasons for austerities, tapas. When you renounce a little bit your own comfort and just, not just renounce it, just fill that space which you have freed, time-wise, for instance, with Krishna. Krishna immediately reciprocates. And I think many of us could feel that for the last few days when we had more opportunity to engage in either direct chanting or do what your community has done so exemplary. You were serving the devotees by making all the facilities and so many things. I think you needed to buy extra sabjis from the market and so on. When you sacrifice for Krishna, you actually, when you create space, so to say, by not engaging in the things you usually engage in, Krishna reciprocates immediately. It is a spiritual law of nature that is even more sure to happen than the law of gravitation. You know, when I drop this, I'm almost sure, I don't even have to try today, that when I let this slip out of my hand, I think it will go towards the floor. It will not go into Gopinath's arms, you know. So in the same, this is a safe and sure law. And in spiritual life, this, you know, offering something to Krishna, making a sacrifice in some cases of time, of what you usually do, is a very good, it is indispensable, it should never be given up. Yagya, sacrifices for Krishna, you know, like fire sacrifice, charity to give to others, and tapa, some austerities for Krishna, they should not be given up, they should be there. And you will hear how much Bhaktivinoda Thakur put his life under this motto. Good. Now, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today, from the first canto, a very, very nice verse. It's one of the all-time favorites of many Vaishnavas. It's 1:13:10. I hope I gave the writer Prabhu right. Yes, it's the right verse. Bhavad Vida Bhagavata. Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibhu. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Svantastena Gadabrita. Bhavat Vidha Bhagavata. Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Svantastena Gadabritaha. Yes, will someone please chant?
Bhavat Vida Bhagavata.
Bhavat Vida Bhagavata. Vaishnavi, please. Translation reads like this. This is, by the way, Yudhishthira talking to his uncle Vidura, who was an exceptionally accomplished devotee. So he says, "My lord," nice that you're enthusiastic. I thought to read it myself. And "My lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. It's an interesting concept, no? A walking holy place. a devotee of the Lord. When you go into his presence and you associate properly with him by hearing from him, serving him, you will have the feeling you have entered into a sacred atmosphere, like visiting Mayapur or Vrindavan. No? So this is what the verse says. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So here's the purport for you. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies. Everywhere he is, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. But once commented, Krishna is especially, he's everywhere, and he's especially everywhere in Vrindavan, except for Loi Bazaar, the shopping center. Because the consciousness is on kurtas and dhotis and items, and therefore, when the consciousness is distracted, we can't perceive Krishna's presence. So sorry, I'm so enthusiastic. Let me read this here first. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. So electricity is everywhere. If I rub this, oh, it didn't make spark this time, but usually it makes sparks. It is everywhere. Like electricity is everywhere, but a devotee can make the all-present Lord visible to us, just like the bulb up there can make the electricity visible in the form of the light energy, no? So a pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Jamuna or to visit the temples situated in those places. No, this is not, this done, but something else must be done also. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. So then there's more descriptions about the the greatness of these devotees and how it is important for us to hear them, but I can feel in the atmosphere that your attention goes into the silent, mute mode, the morning tiredness. So I will not continue reading here. Oh no, this is impious. I will continue. So please, my dear everyone, I can feel what to do after 50 plus years. One becomes a little sensitive and I can feel your mind is drifting away. Don't do this. Stay with this. No? When one goes to holy places, the idea is one should not just go and bathe and see the temples, but what must one do? See the devotees, yes. Take shelter, you said. I'm sorry, I could not. Take shelter of the devotees, and then one should hear from them. These devotees are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. That's what they do, these great devotees. They hear about Krishna and chant. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadev heard from whom? Narada. Thank you. And then he chanted in writing. Vyasadev chanted in writing. Amazing concept. Shukadev Goswami studied from his father, who? Vyasadev. Wonderful. And he described it, what he heard, to whom? Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. Wow! And the holy places are worth a name only on their account. A holy place is only a holy place if you meet these pure souls there. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. And what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. No? Prabhupada talks here of the many shop owners and cinema owners and whatever owners of in holy places who want to zap the money from the pilgrims, you know, and therefore render the atmosphere unholy by just being money interested. But pure devotees can, when they come, they can change the atmosphere. My dear devotees, one of these great, great devotees to whom we look up is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, if it were not for him, we would not sit here. He came at a time where India was totally overrun by the foreign rule of the Britishers, and the values had totally gone in another way, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotional process of bhakti were not so highly regarded. Of course, there were a few saints, but they were more or less practicing on their own. One of this was the saint Svarupananda. We might hear about him. But by and large, Hare Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha ki jai. It looked dim. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just by his appearance and by hearing about Krishna, writing about Krishna, oh, you have to go?
Yeah, he's on the airplane.
Oh, you caught an airplane at the end? Yeah. So thank you for coming. This is the New York group. Have a very safe travel and take Radish with you. No New York, Radish. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Po. Yes. Hare Po. So yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my dear devotees, he made a movement, it's called the Namhata movement, where in many villages and areas Krishna consciousness began to sprout. He organized this program where there was regular chanting and hearing about Krishna going on. He wrote 100 plus books. 100 plus. How many books have you written? 100 plus books. He engaged with the intelligentsia of the time, the professors, the heads of opinion, and convinced them of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was highly reputed as a devotee. He would not even, look at his standard, go into a theater where a play of Gauranga Mahaprabhu was done. He said, if I go into these modern places, then people will just, he knew theater would degrade. I was a little while ago in a theater just for Parsifal, you know, it's a very spiritual theme. And in the midst of the Parsifal, a naked actor was on the stage. I mean, hey, this is not the idea of theater, you know. Gadadhar was with me, next to me. You just tell me when I can remove my hand, you know. It's not, no, what? And then I asked the theater, why do you, this was not done before. No, we have to be modern and entertain the people. Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this, so he did not want to be associated with these things. He foresaw this, that it would come. He was such he was a judge. Hare Krishna. This is the best position to stay in this. He was a judge. And the High Court judge of Calcutta said, I have never seen someone like Bhaktivinoda. The moment you talk, the discussion immediately goes to Achintya Beda Tattva, you know, and the spiritual subjects, and Advaitavad is defeated, and he only talks about Krishna. But when he is acting as a judge, he deals with 50 cases a day and passes an unfailable, fair judgment. Who is this person? Bhaktivinoda Thakur raised, now listen to this and faint, 10 children. One child came, Radhadesh, and the family where the child came could not attend anything. 10 children. Whoa! And one of them became the spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada. Another one, Lali Prasad, became a very, very reputed Vaishnava. There is a disagreement. Bhaktisiddhanta called him my Sahajiya brother. but he only Krishna also, it was in his mind. This personality we are hearing something about today. I will request you to chant with me a prayer to him. Mm-hmm. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Sachidananda Namine.
Sachidananda Namine.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Rupanugavarayate.
Rupanugavarayate.
I offer my obeisances to you, Srilas Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the foremost of Rupanugas, is those who follow in the line of Rupa Goswami, and the personal manifestation of Sri Gauranga's Shakti. Who is Sri Gauranga's Shakti? It's Gadadhar Pandit, and you are the personal manifestation of that. Good. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So let me first offer my obeisances. I'm so enthusiastic here. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Bajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskanyane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gopakravinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It was said that these great souls are living holy places. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's heart is the holy place, and the river, the holy river that goes through this, are his amazing outpourings of devotion. We will bathe today in two of his outpourings of devotions, two of his poems or songs actually. But before, I would like to ask the question, how could Bhaktivinoda Thakur be so efficient as to bring a movement to life in the modern times? How could he travel and create really hundreds, if not thousands? I heard once the number 1,200 centers. How could he have the time to write the books and the songs which have become the foundation of the Krishna consciousness movement? We will hear some of his books, what it is. How could he meet and convince the intelligent people? How could he find time to raise 10 children? How could he manage, when he lived in Puri, the entire Puri temple? He was the superintendent. My dear devotees, he did something which you might like to do in your personal way. He developed a schedule in his life that would facilitate all of this. I would like to read to you the schedule by which he regulated his life when he stayed in Puri, where he became the superintendent of the Jagannath temple. Would you like to hear this?
Yes.
And please now hear it with two ears, One is just the information. One is, well, can I perhaps schedule my day also a little bit more efficient? No? So he went very early to bed. I don't think this will be very practical, but the principle might be good. He went to bed between 7:30 in the evening and 8 p.m. Then he was up at 10 o'clock p.m. He would go and light an oil lamp which was there in his room. Match perhaps. And then he would write from 10 o'clock p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 6 hours of writing. 6 hours. My own spiritual master, he had a similar schedule. He got up very early, sometimes 12, sometimes he was not going to bed so early because he gave evening classes and preached. He got up at mostly 2 o'clock, I heard. And then he also dedicated the time which was for concentrated work, for deep work, you call it in modern times, to writing. No? At 4 a.m. he got up. Everything was resting there. Maybe his wife Bhagavati was in another room chanting japa. Then he washed his hands and his face, and he would sit and chant from 4 a.m. little time was for washing up to 7 a.m. he would chant. One person has said how he chanted. He became sometimes a little tired and he sat outside on a cement chair. When you sit on a cement chair, it's very cooling and refreshing. And he chanted at his neighbor like a person calling someone. Come, come. Esho Kumar, in one of his songs, he writes, Esho, Esho, no, come, come, my Lord. No, like this, he chanted, very devotional. At 7 o'clock, he would be done with his chanting. I mean, he chanted again and again during the day, but then he would write correspondence. He was a preacher. He received letters and he wrote letters up to 7:30, half an hour. And then he read various religious and philosophical books. These were not Shastra. He had a mission. He wanted to establish Krishna consciousness in the modern world, and he needed to understand what the opinion makers in the field of philosophy and religion thought. So he read from 7:30 to 8:30. What did he do at 8:30? He received visitors to engage in personal discussions. If there were no visitors, he continued to read. I have the information, religious and philosophical books, and I said he did not read Shastra. My dear devotees, I don't know if he... I think Shastras are included, but I know he was really well-versed in Christianity and he quoted many philosophers of his time, he had read them and understand them. So sometimes this reading, personal reading, took place when there were no visitors from 7:30 to 9:30. You know, he interrupted at 8:30 when there were visitors, but if not, he went up to 9:30. And at 9:30, Ananda Murti will appreciate this very much. He got up and walked very fast, briskly, for physical wellness. And he would think during this time. Sometimes those who were came heard him thinking out loud some things. Amazing, no? He would walk and think, and the idea was just to walk physical, be doing something physical. Again, because the schedule is mind-blowing, is it? Already Manohar's mind has been blown out. He is sleeping. You think perhaps, well, I can't never do this, so let me take some well-deserved rest now until more relevant subjects come. No, the idea, Manohar, is scheduling your day and putting the essential things into your day. So, Hare Krishna, I'm sorry to single you out. I see some other, because we had such an intense day. So, well, I must say, within the time 7:30 to 9:30, I must correct myself, he walked also. It was within the time and did this and thought out loud and solved question. Now, at 9:30, he took a little rest. From 9:30 to 9:45, he took a rest. Hare Krishna. How much rest did he get in the evening? Someone calculated? 8 to 10? 2 hours. Gopinath. If you talk about austerities, that's austere. And then he took again rest for 15 minutes. My dear devotees, we were trained like this in the old times. When we took a morning rest, we put the alarm clock on 7 minutes. But why 7 minutes? Why this luxury? Because we just had so, you know, little sleep, you know. So then he ate a breakfast. Do you want to know the breakfast, what he ate? Padmakshi, this is a subject for you. Padmakshi is there. He ate, took half a quart of milk. Anyone knows what is a quart? I don't know. Yes? What?
Like a liter.
So half a liter of milk he took. Then he ate, Amala, this is attractive for you, 2 chapatis and a little fruit. Bas. Half a liter milk, 2 chapatis, fruit. No pizza. As mentioned. Wow, this is an unusual personality, you must admit. This was one of 2 meals, my dear devotees. He would eat in the evening again. Oh, let us continue. At 9:55, he dressed in a uniform. If you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dress, that's a dress, you know, with hats and really very festive uniform. And he left in a horse-drawn carriage to go to the court. You might like to know by this time, how did he look? my dear devotees, he had 6 strands of neck beads. They were very thick, the neck beads, and he would completely shave his head once each month, and he didn't care what the British people said about this. Then he went to the court, and I said already, for cases which took normal people an hour and a half, he just solved them in a few minutes, and therefore he could solve in the time he spent in court, that is from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 3 hours, from 30 to 50 cases. And his judgment, we hear, was so good. You know, to give a judgment, you have to know the law and use the law. You don't just say, I think this is, I think that is. No, what is according to the law, the right of this person? Where did he violate the civil laws and so on? It requires a lot of knowledge to give a judgment. He solved 30 to 50 cases a day, and of course, the British people became very envious of him, because no one could do work so efficiently. You will see a little later how he dealt with envy, and you will be surprised. So then, at 1 o'clock, he came home and refreshed himself. I do not know what this means. Did he eat? I have not heard about this. But he refreshed himself. A shower is for sure included. Then at 2 p.m., from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., he again went to work. And then he came back in the evening after a whole day. And do you know what he did? Did he go to the movies, perhaps, to relax a little? No. He translated from Sanskrit into Bengali up to 7, what was it, when did he go? Up to 7:30 and so on. To let his country people experience the wealth of the Shastras. He has translated many things into Bengali. The way he wrote was, he dictated his translations to a secretary. Then came, before 7, around 7 o'clock, he ate his evening meal, rice, 2 chapatis, again, and again, half a liter of milk. And do you know how he lived his day? He had a stopwatch. Usually you use that in order to find out the speed of runners. He had a stopwatch. Because his idea was to use all his energy and all his time in the service of Krishna. What do you think? Amazing, isn't it? And also difficult to do. What do you do when you have a great acharya who is an exemplar, who as such a standard? How do you relate? Will you just, wow, I can never do it, let me return to my compromised life? No, you should find out. Some birds can fly very high, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, and other, like eagles for instance, and other birds can fly less high. What is your height? Have you ever thought about how high you can fly? It must be, Krishna says in the 11th canto, according to our adhika, how we are equipped. And when you do according to what is given to you as capabilities, your best in that, it is seen with the same. I don't want to. I want to say it's the same like Bhaktivinoda, because we are never the same, but it is 100% good in your spiritual life. The principle is find out how you can use your time in a most efficient way in the service of Krishna. What is possible for you? And then you are, as they say in New York, you are fine. It's all right. I think what we can learn is a few principles also for those who are aware that we must take care of our bodies. I was surprised that he found time for this. He also did yoga. You find him often in yoga positions. He did pranayama. He did these things which helped the body to energize the body. And he wrote about it. He says everyone needs to do something for his spiritual welfare, for his physical welfare, for his emotional welfare, and for the social welfare. Everyone should be active in these categories. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai.
Very good. I want to now read something. He gave a prediction, and I want to read you the prediction. You have to go to London. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna, safe travels. So let me read a little. If you want to understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I will read this now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an expert in language. He knew English, Urdu, Persian, Oriya, Bengali, and Sanskrit. Six languages. He had a taste for history, what happened in the world, and a keen mind for research. Wanted to find out everything. He was a voracious reader, he liked to read, in other words, of the Puranas and other Vedic texts, as well as the writings of numerous ancient and modern European authors. He could cite passage from scriptures such as the Bible and the Quran. In the Quran it says, Allahu Akbar. I mean, he knew that everyone knows, but you know, and he would speak about this in appropriate occasions. His habit was to uncover every facet of whatever subject matter he examined, and this thoroughness of endeavor never faltered. Above all, he was self-realized, and he wrote numerous writings that will inspire people for centuries to come. He started to write from the age of 12 years. Harikatha. I thought, let me find out what a 12-year-old boy will write. It was genius. And he also wrote the Shumbha Nishumbha Yuddha. I did not read that, but I read some book. Anyways, until his final day, his pen was never idle. Prabhupada got this idea. He said to all of his disciples, every one of you should write. Write down what is your realization. Yesterday, some of you did a writing exercise, and perhaps you could see, as you were putting to paper what you have experienced, that it became more real for you. disciples, some of you. I know that there were two very unwilling persons to start. They never write very much. But when they wrote, tears came in their eyes. It must have been some good experience for them. He wrote many poems, and one poem you will hear very soon from. And I will now say a few Vaishnava scriptures. You please repeat after me then when it comes. The Vaishnavas have received many books on Lord Sri Chaitanya's teachings. He wrote, for instance, a full commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada worked into his commentary. His book Jaiva Dharma,
Jaiva Dharma
is a Bengali novel which teaches Vaishnava philosophy in a very easy language. No one has written up till now like this. It has a story of two people who are on their spiritual path. They meet snakes and dacoits and everything, and they have association with sadhus, and they learn the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is in the book. They learn it from sadhus. It's a gem. Then he wrote also Bhagavataka Marichi Mala, which is considered the cream from the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, he took verses from the Bhagavatam and put them according to categories. There's something about the holy name, there's something about various tattva. He said he was inspired to write this book on the order of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who appeared to him and said, write this book on the Bhagavatam. He has written commentaries on many books, for instance, Krishna Kanamrita,
Brahma Sanghita,
and he has won the hearts by his own book, like Harinam Chintamani, and Bhajan Rahasya. They are very much appreciated by Nam Vaishnavas. There are two books which are considered to be the jewels in the Bengali language. One is Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and the next is Sri Krishna Sanghita. Yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur walked in and out the house of the Tagoras. You know Ravindranath Tagore? He is a Nobel Prize winner in literature. He came to Germany also, Darmstadt, and he went into the park. I've been in this park, Luisenpark. And he began to talk about Krishna consciousness. I think he had heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and there were many, many hundreds of people listening to him at that time. And he has also written books about devotional songs like Sharanagati, Gitavali, Gitamala, and Kalyana Kalpataru, which are sung by the devotees. Just you might like to hear the sound of his poetry. Gopina Mama je pagala mora ne mane shasana sada chetana vishayera yeche gora gopinath gopinath mana je pagala mora mana ye pagala mora namane shasana
namane shasana
Sada Chetana Vishayeya Yechegora This is in the mood of lamentation. O Gopinath, my mind is completely mad. It does not accept any discipline. And always remains ignorant and in the fearsome pit of sense gratification. This is now so beautiful I could cry. O Gopinath, I have accepted defeat. All my careful endeavors have proven futile. They have not brought anything. Now, at this stage where I see I can't do it alone, now you are my only hope. Only hope. O Gopinath, how will my salvation be achieved? My powerful senses have brought my mind under their control and do not relinquish their addiction to worldly enjoyment. And now he offers a solution. Gokrishna, please, if you can catch that melody. We will sing it. It is so beautiful. O Gopinath, reside in my heart. Come in my heart. And you, please, restrain my mind, diverting it toward you. Thus you will end my terrible problem. Gopinath Hridaye Posiya Mora Hridaye Posiya Mora Mana Kesha Mia Laho Nijapane Nijapane Nguchi Bevi Padagora Again the translation, O Gopinath, please reside in my heart. And please restrain my mind, diverting it toward you. Thus you will end my terrible problem. So this is, although you are all residing now at Radhadishtam, where our deities are, the Radha Gopinath, and you might like to read today and sing, if you wish, the Gopinath song. You can find it in Google, Gopinath. No, Mama. It starts like this. If you need to find Mama Nivedana Shuno, Gopinath, and you can easily remember Mama. You know, that you said when you were young. Here, I will end with a prediction and then I will ask the surprise to manifest here. In his book Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, please say, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he made a prediction that very soon people from all the countries around the world will chant the holy names of Hari and dance together under the flag of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has a symbol on the, you know, it goes like this. They will dance together under the flag of Lord Chaitanya. This we must bring a flag next time. So he made this prediction, and we have seen that he had firm faith. He had firm faith that the congregational Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bring the ultimate peace and prosperity to mankind. He stressed that teachings of Lord Chaitanya should be spread in English language, and he famously wrote a book about Lord Chaitanya and sent it to the universities of the world. And I just remember, I have a receipt where one university in, it was in Munich, Munich means South Germany, wrote back to Prabhupada, "We gratefully acknowledge your noble work about Gauranga." You know, he had done this, he booked his devotion through the mail. And he had sent it also to great influencers. Emerson got a book and wrote back. Emerson is an American author with a lot of following. He's quoted today a lot. He had great faith that this would go all over the world. So I was just, I remembered, our surprise will come in 5 to 10 minutes. Our surprise has told me, before I come, it's a person, it comes with the person, our surprise. If you have any questions or comments on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but what do you think? Isn't that an acharya where you can say, wonderful, I'm so proud to be in the Krishna conscious movement. Yes. This is a genius, no, Gopinath? And his powerful voice echoes into the present time. Do you know that the song Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari, that was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? I'm sorry, I saw first this devotee. Yes, please.
There's another question. Thank you very much for your explanation.
Yes.
I was wondering about the diet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
About the what?
His diet.
Diet, yeah.
Diet, yeah. His eating, I didn't hear any vegetables.
I also didn't hear. Yes. I think somehow this worked for him, this diet. But eat your sabjis, you know. we can't imitate. We have to. Some other devotees have to leave. Good, have safe travels, Hare Krishna. Yes, I also didn't hear. I took this from. I have seen this schedule very much. It was given. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was observed by one of his sons, and this son watched his father on a daily basis, and this was his schedule in Puri. Yeah, it worked for him. Don't try to imitate. If you only have 2 hours and 15 minutes of rest, I cannot guarantee for your mental safety. You know. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. You mentioned how the British were envious of him because he was very efficient.
Yes.
How did he deal with that enviousness?
It is described how his character was. He was very charitable. He would, when someone came to his house, he would always give them something. He later wrote that Mahaprabhu's movement was based on three pillars, and one was jiva daya, compassion to the living entities. So when someone was envious to him and even acted towards him out of jealousy, he excused them. He didn't hold any grudge. He was just so good, good character. And this is one of the, it's a total different thinking. You know, these great acharyas are really, they are in human form, but whereas we, have you noted when you are with people, when there is a small mistake, then this becomes very big in your eyes. And you may forget the other things. I am like this also, a bit terrible, you know. But these great souls, when there is something good, they make this very big, like we make the small bad things big, and they forget about the bad things. They just excuse. He did take action, though, when he saw that in the name of spirituality, people were confused and misdirected. There was this great yogi who proclaimed himself to be Mahavishnu, and he said one day, he gave the exact day, he would overthrow the British and drive them out of India. He had a political agenda also, but he had, and because he was, and he would engage he said it's a rasa lila, that is sexual activity with, and high class ladies believed it and came, who wouldn't, you know, Mahavishnu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, he took an ox cart to come to him. He was out in the forest, he had his place there. And he confronted him and said, "You must stop this, otherwise I will throw you into jail. You will get a proper court case." He was very, very strict. So this yogi said, "Better surrender to me or you will be in trouble. I'm Mahavishnu. Don't find fault." So he had brought some policemen and they captured the yogi, wrestled him down, brought him to the prison, imprisoned him. But he was a powerful, don't mess with a yogi, you know. He then cursed every single member of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family. They all became very sick. Bhaktivinoda Thakur became so sick he was near to death. He said, let all of us die, but we cannot tolerate that people are misled by this. And then he told one Englishman, he thought, what is it? And he, of course, understood, he knows yoga also. He had his power here in the hair. And so he sent the Englishman with a scissor, and they cut the hair of this yogi with the scissors, good size scissors, and then he could not do anything any longer, and there were thousands of people protesting before his prison, let him free, you know, like when the Rolling Stones were put into prison, thousands protested their drug abuse, let them free, let Mick Jagger sing for us again, you know, so same idea, you know, let them free. He would not budge an inch, because it was known he was so good, so fair-minded, he could not be swayed. And then after the hair thing, there was no problem for his family. They all recovered. Yeah. So, but he would excuse people who acted out of jealousy against him. But he had his principles. When it was against him, or they, but when it was Krishna for bewildering people, he would not allow this. Oh no. We say Vaishnava is like a soft like a rose and how hard like a thunderbolt. Thank you. Yeah. Good. Anyone else with questions? I saw Ram Govinda, and this will be our last question.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very progressive in his style of preaching. And I just wanted to hear from you what you think are some, what we can learn from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and being innovative in our preaching endeavors.
Yeah. Innovation was really is really required for an international preaching movement. At the same time, when there is innovation, you have to see that you don't lose the original item. I heard a wonderful example by our Radhika. His good name? Radhika Raman. Radhika Raman, our professor from America. He spoke about kirtan and gave an interesting example. You need to have kirtan standards, but within the standards, you need to bring creativity. And he used this example. If you have a tennis court, there is a definition, what is tennis? You know, it is certain, they call it tennis court, and then there are certain, I do not know anything about tennis, but certain ways to play tennis. Now imagine someone would say, why have the net in the middle? It's a botheration. Let us remove the net. Let us be creative. But at that moment, the game of tennis would not be possible any longer, because it is somehow necessary. You know, you have to bring the foolish thing above the nets. You know, and so on. I've learned recently a little about football. There need to be certain rules so that the thing can happen. But within this, there's unlimited scope for creativity. Unlimited. See how Mr. I met his wife, his good wife, Mr. Jokovic. How creatively he plays, and he may play like from the back hook, maybe, I don't know, or between the legs. I'm not so. and incredible creativity can be brought there. That will enhance the game. So, you spoke about creativity, and I wanted to bring it to kirtan, because we just had the kirtan retreat, and I think there is, in the kirtan field, there is sometimes a tension between different viewpoints. Some say only like Prabhupada did it. Others say, what is the kirtan tradition, which Prabhupada wanted to bring the kirtan tradition. So you always have to find the balance, that the important principles are there so that the kirtan experience can go on, and at the same time bring creativity to it so that it becomes beautiful and a beautiful offering for the Lord. No, both is required. The moment someone says only this is required and no standards, then you will not have the purity, the Krishna centered, the Lord's presence. But if you say only this roots, you will stifle the very important element of in kirtan, that is the devotional expression, which will be different from person to person, because we are individuals. No, so both is required. No, and that needs to be managed, this requirement and so on. So I gave you one example, Ram Govinda. In general, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so, I myself, these are things I read from this book. It is a very good book, Sri Jagannath Puri, a guidebook. I just purchased it, very cheap. I took on my notes from there. The author is Sava Shakshi Prabhu, and for my memories of course also. And yes, we can find out when you see Bhaktivinoda dress. Wow, this is someone who knows to dress. When you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's expression. Read the Krishna Samhita if you want to have a new approach to philosophy. Very, very new and mind-stimulating and so on. How he brought also his program of Namhata, he went there, he found people, he empowered them to be leaders of a center. He said, do this and this and this. He gave them a few rules, and then he gave them his songbooks. Here, these songs, and this is the melody or any melody. He took melodies from the bowls. Do you know the bowls of Bengal? Wow, these are musicians. Oh, my, they know many sweet melodies, they think very sweet. And he took the same popular melodies and put his songs to the melodies. The bowls themselves are often related to tantric practices, which is not what Gaudiya Vaishnavas do, but the melodies are very sweet. I can only say it like this, because this is how you say it in Bengali, sweet. Sweet, we say in English. Yes. Yes, he was creative but the pure thing did not go away. He kept the roots at the same time of Krishna consciousness. Does this satisfy you, this answer? Is it good? I want to end here because we have the surprise. I will now give the microphone to our Syamananda Prabhu. Please welcome him with a massive round of heartfelt applause.